Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Welcome to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. What do we have in store for you? Oh, this weekend, October 22nd, we are in Fernie, but guess what? Sold out. There could be an additional 60 tickets added to the show. We are just waiting to hear if they have space in for that show. Other than that, other dates, November 13th, Calgary Danger Room. The legendary room where it is a safe space for dangerous ideas. Tickets are going quick on that show. Holy shit. We are, damn near, we're under a month away, and it's looking like another sellout. Wow! I guess maybe people do enjoy our antics. Then, following that, we are back in Grand Prairie, November 25th. We are in Grand Prairie, December 11th, Edmonton, Alberta. You can get tickets to Calgary and Grand Prairie on dangercatshop.com. And for Edmonton, we are at the Comic Strip. So the Comic Strip's website, or in the West Edmonton Mall. Over the weekend was a lovely weekend, you know. We got two shows out of the way, Olds and Edson. We performed in a strip club. Now, see here, the progression of this whole Danger Cats and comedy and the trajectory. The path of my life has really changed drastically, I may say. Is it good? I don't know. Still trying to figure that out. As a man, you just look in the mirror and you accept things sometimes. And that is one of them that you don't know, right? And there's moments in your life where you look back and you be like, that was a good time. And then as you get older, it was like, that was a fucking awful time. Why did I think that was an awful time? And now I'm not implying that Edson was an awful time. What I am saying is the path that we are now on is 100% different than what it was in the past. The first time, one of the second, like, I guess, show that we ever did was in a strip club. Actually, the first one was a strip club. Then they took notice. The agency then seen that books dancers scene, like, oh, these guys have a lot of fun. These guys like to have a little fun, don't they? Why don't they come have fun at our place? So we went to Edson and threw a little party there. And what a difference. The last time we were there, prior to doing stand-up, I was just a shit tank, you know, hammered out of my mind. I don't believe I did drugs that weekend, but I'm not going to put it past anybody, okay? But now my life is a lot different. We go there. We went to a titty bar, and I didn't even hang out after. It was like, we got another show tomorrow. It's like, we're taking this very serious. And, you know, it's good to see, like, some people recognize what we are doing and what we are trying to accomplish. Over the weekend, I had this lawyer, of all people. I didn't think lawyers really listened to what I have to say, since they have a intellectual outlook on the whole planet. You know, these are very, very, very noble people, very stoic people, right? They are to be trusted, right? They won't just do anything for any old dollar. It has to be a lot of dollars. And those are the people that we have to trust. Now, one of them was at our show over the weekend. That's right, a lawyer of all people. And he said, what you guys are doing is needed. Now, we joke about a lot of things, and there's some people that, you know, don't like what we do, and some people that think that we don't go hard enough. See, that's the vast difference of like how we are as people, as human beings. We don't quite understand where the line is, and there should never be a line, but in some people's heads, it's not far enough. Ah, it's too far. So it's good to murky the waters so that way nobody has an understanding. And Lawyer Boy felt what we were doing is correct. So for him, thank you. We appreciate that, you know? Speech in Canada is slowly being suppressed. You can't speak your mind. You can't say what you really want to say. And what in fact, like a protest, some protests that have happened. Now we're talking about them. We're going to get into that. We got to let's give the layout of the show. I'm being a bad host today. Now I have, you sometimes forget that I have my own soundboard and go off on these little tangents and just to throw in my own cues. You know, you got this whole sound pad beside you, Brendan, and you don't use it. You fucking asshole. But right now we get a view from our viewing pleasure right now has been the perspective of those on the other side of the trucker protest. And I gotta say, it is quite funny. We gotta have a little laugh about this. I think it's worth having a little giggle together, right? We like doing that, don't we? Our first article of the day that we're going to talk about on this podcast that sucks dick. Emergencies Act inquiry about life in Ottawa convoy protest. Let's get into the video. Now, I'm going in raw dog. I just read the article. Of course, there is a ad. Why would I preload the ad? Why would I not have an ad blocker? Because I'm an idiot. That's why. It's all right. We'll wait this out. We got 3 seconds and we're going to get into the...
I work very hard to be independent and safe as a person with a disability. I work very hard to be independent and safe as a person with a disability. That objective is very important to me. And
the disability is actually Crohn's. She shits herself. And now there's a neurological problem. She shits herself when a horn honks. Wow. That sucks.
Every success in reaching that objective is coveted. So that was gone. I was trained to walk with the traffic, to walk with the flow, to negotiate and keep myself safe on the street. Of course, there was no traffic or no flow, no indicator. Or if it's idling, I wasn't sure if these big vehicles overhanging a small sidewalk, if they decided to suddenly shift or change, if they could see me. So it was terrifying.
This is a problem with a country that isn't rich enough in history to understand like the real deep-rooted problems that exist in democracy, right? Like we have countries overseas like that people have immigrated from that have you know, existed for many years and have a history behind it that is proven in textbooks, because they don't lie in textbooks, right? And over here we just like we haven't felt the effects of like a real crumbling society. And I think that we're too far into the future now to look back on history to be like, this is where they started. Fuck. We're too ignorant to history in Canada, right? We always like, we want to look upon our own history as it's evil. We like to tear it apart and be like, wow, this is deep. I fucking feel white guilt because this... We have that issue. Like, we're easily convinced that we're bad people over things that we, A, had nothing to do with. Yeah, you can recognize history and be like, that was a little fucked up. But to sit there and act as if it's your fault because you're a descendant of white people is insane. Or any sort of race. You know, it's not like history was cute and everybody sat around hugging one another. No, it was violent as hell. We are tribal human beings. But now in the future, we all sit around. Well, not we all. I'm generalizing. There are people now that take this victimization to the next level. We get you were born with a disability and you should pray to God that Hitler didn't win the war or else you wouldn't be alive. That's something grateful that you can have, right? That's a little piece for you. There's a lot of things too that we love to do in Canada is double down, right? Right now, this is the perfect opportunity to have all eyes are on you right now because we're eager to see what the government's gonna whip up. What's their justification over bringing out the War Measures Act, right? And right now, this is who you plant. Like, I had problems walking up the street because I was trained to walk with the flow of traffic. I guarantee you, if you would have asked any one of those guys in a truck, hey, listen, I got problems. I just need to know where they would have walked you right to the destination that you needed to be, made sure you got there, and then got you home. But no. No, 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 no. That's way too easy. We gotta take the long road that is engraved in self-righteousness on championing. One day I'll learn English. And I'll be able to rip these people apart worse than I already think I do. But it's great. No one knows what her disability is. I have one, though. You don't even...
The sound was so high that I could not hear any chimes or signals that we use at the ends of the street to tell us that it's safe to cross. That...
I assume she's
that
deaf.
That was just not available. So it just was not safe in my world. Also, in terms of independence, I do everything myself. I order my groceries. I order prescriptions, and I take public transportation or private transportation to go to meetings, to go to appointments, to do my daily business. So I had everything set up for myself as an independent person living alone in downtown.
It is kind of funny to sit here and listen to somebody complain about their life being complicated, right? Meanwhile, the reason why people are there, the reason why people picked up where they were and drove their truck there to protest this was because their life was being complicated. So now we have one individual that's going to just throw their 2 cents in and we got it. Oh my God. But because... you know, some people were like, no, I don't think that it's right that I should get a vaccine to go to work. Now, those fucking thousands of people that gathered, they don't matter right now because this lady, whatever her issue is, I'm assuming deaf if it's because I can't hear the street light or the street sensors going off or I don't know what it is. We haven't got to the part where what her disability is. Right? We can't go to meetings. Well, you couldn't go to meetings. I thought you couldn't go to meetings because everything was shut down. So what's going on here? We couldn't meet in person. Ontario was the most locked down fucking province out of them all for the longest time. So what are we bitching about here? Your life was online like the rest of us for so long. And now all of a sudden, this was an issue because the trucker showed up tooting horns, playing fucking street hockey, having a barbecue in the street, shoveling snow. Now, all of a sudden, all those people's lives who were complicated, right, who were put in a compromised situation where they were coerced into making a decision to make a living in this country, picked up on their own dime, went there. Some of them got their bank accounts frozen because they wanted to protest against the government, right? Some of them have been disbanded from their families because of what they believe in. But no. They're sorry that you couldn't get to the meetings, that you couldn't go to any. What are we complaining about here?
On Ottawa, which provided such good services. But immediately, there was no taxi, no Uber, no paratranspo, no grocery delivery, which I depended on, no taxi even.
You could have walked out the front door and got a roast beef sandwich for free. You would have saved money. See, if you would have, this is where Uncle Hack life hacks come into play. Now, when you, sometimes the neighborhood has a little barbecue, right? You smell a little barbecue and then you mosey over some, maybe your neighbor's having a barbecue and you kind of came in the backyard, you're close with them, you start yapping, hey, Fred, you want a burger? You just saved yourself not having to cook that night just by being a little nosy. That's all. You seem to have an understanding of everything that went on that complicated your life. You should have made it easier. You got to see where a window closes, an asshole opens, I think is the old saying, right? So there's people down there having chili cook-offs every day, right? I'm pretty sure there was probably a competition against fucking trucker versus trucker in a chili cook-off down there playing Twisted Sisters. We're not going to take it. You should have just came down with a bowl. You would have been fed for 2 weeks. You would have saved money. But instead, you're over here trapped inside your own victimization instead of seeing an opportunity to save a little money. This is on you. What an idiot.
To go and get some. No prescription delivery. Some way had to be figured out how to obtain all the necessities of life. The restrictions on my ability.
You need to obtain a brain. That's what needs to happen here. All of that right there. I bet you there was a trucker with a pill case full of everything that you needed. It was right outside your front door once again, but instead, you're over here acting like an asshole.
Ability to get food was gone, or was there. So,
what's going on here? Is this a paid crisis actor? Are we witnessing a paid crisis actor here at the Emergency Measures Act inquiries? Is this a paid actor? Everybody else is not masked up except for her. I want to put that out there for the listeners.
That was the impact in terms of my mobility. So I found myself trapped.
And can I confirm, Ms. Delaronde, I noticed you walk with a white cane. Can you confirm, do you have a visual impairment?
Yes.
Okay. And does that visual impairment then cause you to rely on sounds and hearing in order to get around outside?
That is a huge, huge assist in for me to have safe mobility outside and for me to remain independent, yes. Very critical are the sounds.
And so how did the sounds change then from kind of normal day-to-day to when the protest was happening in January and February?
There was absolutely no ability to negotiate my environment by using sound. The the sounds
kind of similar. Like there was no ability to negotiate with the government on whether or not you can keep your job by not taking a vaccine. Tonight, news at 7, we break down how retarded Ottawa actually is. These self-entitled assholes believe that the world should revolve around them and their disabilities. Now, just because you're visually impaired doesn't mean everybody has to care. I'm going to be the asshole here. I will be the dickhead tonight at 7. I know I'm being awfully rude here, but it is. I am being fucking extremely ignorant right now to a blind woman. Well, you know, how'd you get there in the first place? Jesus Christ. That's something that, you know, should I be making fun of the blind woman? No, but I see what they're doing here. You got to see through the optics of what they're trying to do with this whole charade of, listen, this person is blind. We're all supposed to gather around her and celebrate like this blind woman went through hell, right? But I'm sitting here looking at it like this might be the dumbest fucking person on the planet. I know that's rude. And then like, explain yourself. Well, see, she said there was a food issue, right? I couldn't get out. I couldn't go get groceries. I couldn't do the things. I couldn't get food delivery. I couldn't get, you know, these things that are apparent for life, right? But I'm going to go with she probably lives in an apartment somewhere downtown and that's what's complicating her life and not the ability not to get around. I will probably, let's look at the positives here. The city of Ottawa did a horrible job at snow removal. Those fellas came down. So what? You sacrificed a little bit of sound, even though it is everything that you need to move around. Then you go off about food. I have no resolution for the last thing that I said. You got me there, handcuffed. Now, the food thing is funny because you could have just walked downstairs, asked a trucker for a hoagie, and he would have got it for you, but you didn't. There was donuts every fucking street corner. You went fresh coffee. Those boys were brewing up coffee. You could have had 100% Colombian. You could have had decaf. They had a better selection than your local 7-Eleven and probably a better brew, if I'm being honest. Those guys like their coffee, you know? Those fellas like their coffee. I've yet to meet a blue-collar fella that doesn't enjoy his cup of joe in the morning. That's the one thing that just, like, sets the mood. A good cup of coffee gets them in the mood, gets them ready for their day, you know? It's similar to me, like if I don't have this is going to sound gay as hell. If I don't have, like protein shake, if I don't have that, my day's a little off. My little protein smoothie, sometimes I like to blend up a little fruit, a scoop of Greek yogurt, put a scoop of protein in it with some rolled oats. That's how I start my day. That's how I get my day going. A nice, good, healthy breakfast. Similar to like Sam Walker. Sam Walker needs a good local diner with bacon, eggs, and I believe he always gets whole wheat toast. That's his thing. Some of these gentlemen take coffee very serious. You could have had a tremendous cup of coffee every fucking morning for nothing. For nothing. These guys are doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. And they didn't know whether or not they're going back to a job.
Why don't you just do what the government tells you? And donate all your money to the Ukraine.
The sounds of the horns, the sounds of the very, very loud music, the sounds of the people with lots of voices coming from all different places, all was disconcerting and just completely eliminated my ability to negotiate my environment independently.
Oh. We wanted the fancy crib, the tricked out stroller, but we also want to keep traveling.
All right. That was fun, wasn't it? Now let's break down the article. Let's have some fun with this. Ottawa has dealt. Now, who's our reporter? The Canadian Press. Laura Osman and David Fraser. With a compelling piece about the Emergencies Act that was invoked in February. Let's get into it. Ottawa has dealt with a fair number of serious crises over the last few years. A massive and destructive windstorm, floods, and giant sinkhole that swallowed a busy downtown thoroughway. And of course, a global pandemic. I had to put that in there. Each time, Councillor Matthew Fleury says he recalls a white table was erected with name tags for all the key leaders in the response where they would come together to make a plan. But when the convoy of big trucks arrived in Ottawa to launch a protest that would drag on for weeks and precipitate the use of the Federal Emergencies Act, there was no such table. I didn't see that white table situation, and out of all the crises I've seen, let's blow this up a little bit. There we go. That's nice. That is beautiful. That looks much better. I didn't see that white table situation, and out of all the crises I've seen, it's a bit unique that I didn't see that. You're telling me. So you're telling me you weren't doing your job? You weren't doing your job as a counselor. Don't you think you should all be coming together? So you're admitting that you didn't do anything. Is that what you're saying right now? Are you saying right now that you guys didn't see this as an issue? Oh, is that because it was a fringe minority? Wow. Fleury and his fellow downtown councillor, Catherine McKenney, who is running for mayor, told the Inquiry they would forward increasingly desperate emails from residents to city officials and the mayor, but would get little back in the way of a plan to deal with what they called an occupation of the capital city. They're talking about the homeless situation downtown, right? The testimony was part of a blaring introduction to life in Ottawa during the Freedom Convoy protest. I like how they put it in quotations. I believe that's just good reporting. That's what that is. Complete with a recording of the deafening chorus of big rig horns that was played for the commission. The first witness, a legally blind resident of downtown Ottawa, who Uncle Hack, wow, they're quick on their reporting, flinched as a recording of the horns resounded in the conference room for the benefit of the commissioner. Lawyers protest. So they sat her down and be like, listen, we're going to ask you a few questions. And then all of a sudden, just scared the piss out of her. See, these horns act as if they are a condition of how she lives now. She cannot walk the streets without, they just blare those fucking things to scare the piss out of her. What an asshole. Who the fuck would do that? Even I sat here and made fun of a blind woman for half an hour now. And even I don't have the audacity to sit in a room and play big horns so I can scare the piss out of her for my own pleasure, my own amusement. These people are out of control. The first witness, okay, we got that. The witness, Victoria de la Ronde, told the commission the protest that arrived in Ottawa in late January was an assault on my hearing, which she... Everything's assault these days, isn't it? You can't look at a woman. The women out there that think that if you look at them, that's sexual assault. That is sexual assault to them. If you gaze upon a lady walking towards you or have any sort of interaction that they don't agree with, right? I've seen one lady complaining that in a convenience store. She didn't like the way the clerk was interacting with her, and she claimed that that was sexual assault. So the word, we're taking the actual meaning of these words and just removing any sort, the emotions that are attached to them. It seems like, you know, like it just seems like the true meaning of the word just gets flattened and we care less about it because we overuse it in dumb situations. This is an assault on my hearing. Who the fuck are we going to charge? The, I guess the air horn is to be charged in this situation. Time for a little ad read. DangerCatShop.com for all your upcoming shows. We are planning more and more dates here in the future. We'll be releasing a new stretch of the Spite Tour. We love Spite. It is it's a great way to throw back everything that's been happening back into those fucking nerds' faces. You tried, you thought you could take us down, but it didn't happen. All of our, you know, flags are back in restock. We also got a new flag, Get Cash, Eat Ass, coming soon. I'm going to be dropping some new stuff here, just working out some details. Also, use the code PODCAST69 on our site, DangerCatShop.com. Get 15% off your order. That's DangerCatShop.com. For in podcast 69 for 15% off your order. Patreon.com/DangerCat69 if you want an extra hour of the Uncle Hack podcast every week in audio and video format. Boy, oh boy, do I got a treat for you. Patreon has an extra episode every week. Plus, now that we're going to be on the road a little more, a little behind the scenes footage with Brett, Sam, and I. We'll be putting out another roast battle here just after October 7th, which the five or six volumes, whatever they are now exists on our Patreon to where you can subscribe and see why we're getting canceled all the time for a roast battle that takes place here in the cuck country of Canada. That's right. These are the roast battles that seem to be getting us in a lot of trouble lately. So check them out, patreon.com/dangercat69. You can get yourself all the episodes that are backlogged and extra episodes as well of the podcast immediately. All right, back to the episode.
This is a fun episode for me. We might spend a good portion of it on this. I had another topic that I was going to talk about, but this is good. This is good stuff.
I found myself trapped, said De La Ronde, who was left feeling hopeless and unable to leave her home.
Wow.
She became emotional as she told the commission she eventually begged a friend to pick her up and help her leave the convoy zone. A few days later, she and her friend both contracted COVID-19. Jesus Christ! It doesn't end! This lady's life is a blender of fucking problems. Holy shit. Everything. She's out there swinging. Not even swinging at the plate and she's getting struck out. My God. You imagine living your life like that? Fuck, I live my life like that. In the days after the protest ended, De La Ronde said she could still hear phantom horns blaring in her head. Jesus Christ. Even though the sound of a car horn ripples through her body, fraying her nerves, she said. Okay, here we go. Judy Trin was tweeting on behalf. De La Ronde, impact on my physical well-being was extensive. Difficulty sleeping, effect on my lungs because of the fumes. Long-term effects of loss of hearing, balance and vertigo triggered by sounds of horns and some music, and as well the smell of gas. Some mental impacts have abated. I don't know. Keep in mind that my vocabulary is very, very, very slim. Abated. There we go. But still jump when I hear a loud horn and I have a physical reaction when I smell gas. Well, what are you doing living downtown fucking Ottawa then? Jesus Christ. You know, it's like you just want to, you want to keep it going, right? You want to keep the ball rolling. We got to live, We got to live these lives that are in constant assault. We are constantly assaulted. Boy. I don't know how people do it. Convoy organizer Tamara Litch listened stoically from the public gallery as a lawyer representing her and fellow organizers told De La Ron he was sorry for the hardship she endured during the protest. Okay, so those, I could go full, like the full, I guess, conservative way of thinking against this would be like, okay, well, isn't it a bit of an issue that some of these guys that pick their ass up and go to work, pay taxes to ensure that you are able to have the funding that you have to live your life accordingly? Isn't that, you know, there's this, the problems that spiderweb off of this, off of one person complaining is kind of funny. I keep saying that today. It's kind of funny. Is it kind of funny? Or am I just so removed from having empathy for some of these people that live this constant life that they need to be a victim of some sort, you know? Like, I get it. Yeah, you got a tough shake by being blind, but I've seen plenty of blind people look to spin it into a positive, you know? And I get, you know, people were coming into your city. I understand that it's infuriating because your politics don't align with those. Now, where, let's say we change the branding of the convoy, right? Let's say we change the branding. Let's say like all of them got together to save the horses in Indonesia, you know, or wherever horses are being slaughtered. So that way Jan Arden can get fired up, you know. Let's say all those people came down there and they were blaring horns. Let's say the convoy itself aligned with your political spectrum. Does this same person come out and say these things, or do they just suck it up and be like, you know what, the smell of gas is definitely worth saving the horses in Indonesia? I don't know. I feel like everybody got affected by this fucking pandemic in their own way. And this was a result of like one side speaking up and then the other side's mad. No matter how you lean politically, if you don't have an understanding of like where that person's got their frustrations coming from, I can understand why she's frustrated. A bunch of people showed up to where she lived of like protest against the government. But if you're also an elderly person who's triggered by sounds and smells, maybe a downtown apartment isn't quite the best situation for you. You know, maybe somewhere where there's a mass amount of traffic and fumes isn't necessarily the best place for you. Now, I get there's probably not that many diesel trucks rolling around, and the scent of diesel is kind of a nice smell, if I'm being honest. I do enjoy it in the wintertime. It has like a scent that reminds me of home, if I'm being quite honest. I do like the smell of it. It has like a nostalgia, like kicks in to like, there's moments where you know you're working and like a memory will flash because of a smell. Now this smell will, thankfully for her, this smell will then hopefully bring back a memory of like when people were caught in a compromised situation. You know, the empathy, if you want empathy, you got to give a little bit, I think. You know, it's a give and take thing, is it not? It's a give and take emotion, you know. I can't sit back here and like, well, fucking then talk about the blind leading the blind. Well, that one was sitting right there, not in front of her. Oh, he's on a roll. Thank you. You didn't happen to see anything at all. Now, Miss Laurent, can you point to whoever in this room could have possibly been the organizer of this protest? Oh.
Come on, man.
too far, Boozy? Too far? That one's too far? Now, Miss Laurent, are you familiar with Tamara Litch? Yeah, I've seen her. Busted. Busted. Get her out of here. What a liar. Crisis actor, you know? How many fingers am I holding up, Miss Laurent? This might be the one where I maybe have went too far. Making fun of a blind woman on a fucking podcast. Jesus Christ. This is what my career's come. Maybe I should get back on the drugs and alcohol. My God. All right. The commission is examining the evolution and goals of the protest and the effects of the misinformation and disinformation on the convoy and the efforts of police before and after the emergency declaration. It didn't feel safe. My guard was up all the time. Resident Zexy Lee said of walking the Ottawa streets during the protest. Lee, a 22-year-old public servant, launched a class action lawsuit against the convoy organizers February 3rd, and the Ontario court granted her an injunction 4 days later to stop the honking. On February 14th, the federal Liberals invoked the Emergencies Act for the first time as protesters opposed to COVID-19 health measures, and the Trudeau government occupied downtown Ottawa streets and blockade borders. The law temporarily granted police extraordinary powers and allowed banks to freeze accounts, which the government argues was critical to ending the protest. Simple. A conversation would have ended all of this, but the ego of our federal government and even provincial governments, I may add, pushed people to the point where they felt cornered, where they felt like this was the most necessary thing to happen. And freezing bank accounts. Let's completely destroy somebody's life. Because some lady up here, February 3rd, couldn't handle honking. You know, couldn't handle the honking. I've had, as some of you may have seen on my Instagram, right? I worked downtown. We had an office downtown for quite some time. I'm so happy that I'm not there because the noise down there is extremely annoying. Okay. During the day downtown, there is horns honking all day long. There are homeless men screaming at the sky about whatever ideas they have in their fucking head because they fried their brain huffing paint. Okay. There is a constant blare of sirens all day long. Police sirens, fire sirens, ambulance sirens. That's all you hear. Sometimes there's fucking, they're crossing one another. And then on top of it, you get the lunatics down there, right? I'm bitching about them right now. You get the lunatics down there, like the Christian idiots that are screaming and yelling. And then you got the LGBTs that show up to protest the Christian guy. So now you've doubled the noise and it's noisy downtown. I could see why, you know, some people didn't like it, but this is something that you kind of got cornered into, you know. I don't ask to fucking hear sirens and shit all day long, but if I And quite honestly, if I'm being very honest, you know, the amount of fucking protests that happened downtown Edmonton, it would amaze you how many that you just don't know about that go down there. There's horns honking, people yelling, screaming all day long. All day long. They go up and down Jasper Ave like it's going to solve something, right? This actually might be the only one that it forced the hand of the government. Nobody... I've yet to see any one of those protests that happened on Jasper Ave cause anything or do anything. Yeah, sure, some voices get heard for a minute, but you know, the people that are working in the offices, I catch about everybody looking down. You know, you look across and you see people lined up against their windows and they're just looking down, watching the people do their thing. You're having a good time. You're laughing. You wave at the guy across the street. Hey, get a load of these guys, right?
So you're telling me I can go to the city and get their bank accounts frozen. Wish I would have known this sooner. Should have used this to my advantage. I want their bank accounts frozen. Yeah, you're telling me that is a do-do-do-do-do-do-do moment. Just hit me. Now that I'm not even nowhere near downtown, this idea comes to me. What a fucking Jesus Christ. Both Lee and De La Ron described feeling sleep deprived by the constant noise rising from the street. Evidence provided to the commission showed the noise levels outside their homes reached 100 decibels at times, about as loud as a lawnmower. Oh, wow. A lawnmower. That is a horrible. Yeah. 100 outside their home. It was like a lawnmower. A lawnmower. What kind of lawnmower? Are we talking like a John Deere or one of those cheap kind of block and decker electrical ones, you know, that your father would be upset that you got them for Christmas? You know, those ones that you'd plug into the wall and dad would, you know, the old man might run over the cord accidentally because he's having a bit of a day. You know, you remember those ones? You had to plug them in. And the old man, you know, he's been putting off mowing the lawn for a while and bums on his ass. Are you going to mow the lawn today? Are you going to mow the lawn today? And then finally he just snaps. He goes, yeah, I'm going to fucking mow the lawn today. And he goes out there in a fit of anger. And he's like, what kind of lawnmower are we talking about here? When they put it that way, I suddenly have less sympathy. I did a paragraph up. Okay, I did. And then you had to put that it reached 100 decibels at times, about as loud as a lawnmower. Jeez. Now I don't feel bad at all. A lawnmower? I can still hear a lot. You ever heard a screeching woman over the sound of a lawnmower? Of course you have. There was fear, McKinney said. The counselor told the committee residents felt under threat, particularly on residential streets. McKinney would often walk the streets during the convoy and spot safety hazards like open fires near jerry cans of fuel or fireworks. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. There was safety guys at the convoy? Safety guys are everywhere, though. They are everywhere. They're undercover safety guys. Jesus Christ. Sam Walker thinks that the undercover Mounties are bad. The undercover safety guys. You don't even need a badge for that. You can just be one. Undercover safety guys. Wow. We're uncovering a lot on this episode. Everything combined just made for an exceptionally dangerous environment for people. Feet away from their bedrooms, children's living areas, school in the downtown. School shut down, so nice try. Was school not shut down? School shut, weren't they shut down still in February? Then they open it up and then they're like, well, someone sneezed on the bus, so we shut the whole school down. You know, you look in the sun sometimes and... That doesn't sound good. You know when you look in the sun? You know when you stare into the sun? And you sneeze, you know? Or you get the tickle in your nose and you kind of look up into the light and you kind of half your eyes, like you safety squint into the sun to get that sneeze out of you. It's an old trick from Grandpa. Both McKinney and Flurry, sad people, felt abandoned by the police. The downtown city councilor said that in the early days of the protest, isn't it kind of funny now that I say this, isn't it kind of funny that these people are like willing to live in a city where homeless people like rid the streets and threaten their day-to-day lives rather than like this?
Isn't it kind of funny that you'd rather have drug addicts sleeping on doorsteps that will stab you for 38 cents opposed to like somebody who will hand you a cup of coffee and give you some gloves in the cold? Isn't it kind of funny? I should probably say something here in regards to my like politics. Now, I don't know where I did one of those tests. Not that this matters or nothing like that, but I did one of those online tests to figure out like where I fall politically, and it was libertarian of all things, which I sort of kind of expected when I did the test. I was like, I don't think that I'm like a full-blown conservative. I don't. I think like fiscally conservative and like socially liberal in a sense, but I don't have trust in the government. I don't like any of them. I like it when people, you know, in the past, you know, it took me a while to get here, to think the way that I think, but when I was younger, I just go off the cuff and just say kind of shit that, you know, will live on the internet forever. And I understand that, but it didn't quite align with how I truly think or feel about some situations like blockades or anything that has to deal with people fucking with massive corporations, people fucking with the government and having a bit of rebellious spirit towards, kind of any, like governing bodies, police, any sort of laws, you know, like I like people that'll push their limits a little bit, you know, and they won't allow people to be walked all over. I like that. I don't like total chaos and disruption. I don't believe in anarchy by any means, but I like that people will hold the government accountable. I enjoy that. Like I truly do. I like regular day people that do regular day jobs that can wake up and sacrifice their time for the benefit of others. Similar, like for my mother, for instance, single mom growing up, she sacrificed her time for the benefit of my sister and I. And I respect the hell out of people that will do that. So everyday people, I have more respect for, and it doesn't matter about your job. It does not matter to me. I hate people that sit there and act as if like, I make 190 grand a year. You need to suck my cock. You can go fuck yourself. I could give a flying fuck about you and your stupid fucking job and how much money you have or the things that you have in your garage. Is there some stuff that you're like, hey, check this out. This is really cool. And I don't want to feel like I'm bragging, but I got this thing and I'm stoked. I worked my ass off to get it. Yes, I appreciate that. You know, humble people that do have money are cool as hell. You know, they work their ass off. They found something and they don't feel the need to brag. People that fall into new money and they're always like, they got to have this image behind them. Like they do no wrong. I can't stand that. I like down ass people, salt of the earth people. I love the crowd that we draw out. I make fun of everything, everyone in there, myself, and those people just accept, you know, I came out here to get shit on and have a good time. We get the, you know, it's always fun. I like the dudes that bring their wives to the show and the wives don't really have a clue what they're walking into. And we get them clutching their pearls, you know, it's like, it's almost like a treat for the husbands, But these people that showed up to this protest, they had an idea in their head, right? They were against what the government was doing to us as a society, as a civilization that's residing here in Canada. They were against it. They didn't have, there was no violence, right? Look at the fucking things that they're trying to, wow, they had an open fire with jerry cans near it. That's it. That's all they can fucking drum up here. There was no violent altercation. You know, the only thing that happened was an RCMP horse an officer on a horse trampled a fucking woman, an elderly woman who just so happened to be indigenous on top of it. The irony behind that is just incredible. That literally the only person that got injured that we know of was an indigenous woman by a RCMP officer. But they won't put that in there. They won't put that in there because that would make the government look bad. The downtown councilor said that in the early days of the protest, the city was slow to respond. Even around the council table, their colleagues seemed keen to push on with usual business at virtual meetings they attended from home while trucks blared outside of City Hall. Yeah, because these are weak, fragile human beings that are unable to have a conversation with those that are in. They are frustrated. They didn't want to talk to City fucking Hall. They wanted to talk to the House of Commons leaders, politicians. The fuck does anybody give a shit about the mayor of Ottawa? That wasn't what everybody uprooted because they wanted to go talk to the old mayor down there. Of course, over the course of the crisis, councillors pitched several solutions, an injunction, a curfew, handing jurisdictions of the parliamentary precinct to the RCMP. At one point, a motion was put forward at council to ask the federal government to invoke the Emergencies Act, but the motion was defeated. These solutions either never took off or were slow to arrive, Fleury said, adding even the mayor's declaration of a state of emergency came too late. In late January, when trucks began to roll into Ottawa, businesses were still shut under a provincial public health order. Oh, weird. So businesses were still, they were closed. And yet, Oh boy,
the businesses, how are businesses?
It was funny, like businesses were still shut down and you had fat Doug Ford slapping his jowls around trying to be like, hey, guess what? Well, are these businesses going to make money? Gee, I don't know, Doug, because the fact that you put caution tape around glue sticks maybe might be a little bit to fucking do with that, you dumb fuck. You fucking retard. Hanting and panting with the snow shovel. He's out there, gives three scoops out in the middle of the street. You remember that video where his fat ass is out there trying to shovel snow, acting as if like, hey, reelect me, I'm a good guy. And then you fucking retards out in Ontario reelect him again.
Like there's gonna be change.
Come on, man. Gay.
Mm-hmm. In some ways, the convoy proved even more devastating than COVID-19 public health measures. Carrier told the commission In late January, when the trucks began to roll into Ottawa, businesses were still shut under a provincial public health order. Some chose to open when the order was lifted during the protest, but others remain closed, said Natalie Carrier. Oh, I thought they said Nathaniel for a second there. Nathaniel Carrier, executive director of the Veneer Business Improvement Area. Oh, wow. Oh, where was this bitch when everybody was shut down losing money? Where was that bitch? Still collecting her checks, you know, because she's trying to improve business. In some ways, the convoy proved even more devastating than the COVID-19 public health measures. Yes, right. A 2-week occupation is much worse than a 2-year shutdown where people lost wages, houses, homes, drug addiction flew through the roof. What else happened? Families tore apart because of measures that they all had to follow. Everybody had their own ideas, right? No. But the 2 weeks of people honking horns, much worse than the public health measures. I'm sure, like, even today, we're still wrapped up in COVID. Canada is like, Canada just can't drop it, hey? It just cannot drop it. Carrier told the commission, since the road closures and other disruptions prevented staff from coming to work and deliveries being made, at times food delivery services would not enter the area. Well, get your ass out of the car and walk. God knows you need it. You've been sitting for 3 years. Businesses were completely crippled, said Carrier, whose association represents a neighborhood east of downtown Ottawa. I hope she's talking about the 2 years of being shut down. That's how fucking stupid this bitch is.
Oh, yes. Well, businesses were completely crippled. The ones that were open made a fucking killing.
They crushed it. They killed it. They were making record sales in the past 2 years. But why the fuck would you want to do that? Why would you want to say anything like that? Crack open the business. Hell, if you were selling soaps, I'm sure the truckers would have came in and bought some homemade soaps, even though they actually, no, that's not true. A lot of them go to fucking farmers market and support local businesses. A lot of them that I interact with, okay? And the vast majority of people, when you learn that somebody's put their craft to work, you're willing to pay a little extra. So those shops would have increased in business being open. And we've heard it. There's videos on the internet of business owners admitting it. So again, liar. What were you doing during the 2 years making sure that businesses could improve in the area, Natalie? Miss Carrier? Okay. So, Slawley's counsel challenges her on this comment, saying Slawley will deny he said this and that rather he just understood why people were frightened, not that he was personally scared. She stands by it, saying he was candid, concedes that it was the vein of being empathetic. I remember being scared personally because I remember the chief saying at one point, you guys are scared. I get it. I'm scared too. And I thought if the chief of police is scared, something much bigger is happening here than a protest. And a lot of us on that call were shaken. Jesus Christ. Politicians are fucking something else. She also shared an antidote from a worker that the store sold out of knives and bear spray on the third weekend of the protest, which she says she reported to the OPS. Carrier says, initially, the Canadian Tire near Coventry were seeking lots of supplies like jerry cans. Retailers were getting harassed for wearing masks. Protesters putting up posters in the store saying masks were stupid, which they've proven to be, I guess. But let's see. Let's read this. In times of crisis, you turn to your leaders to have a plan and to be stable. And I remember specifically feeling that maybe our leaders were a little shaken, and that's scary. Okay. That's a scary place to be in. With that being said, a scarier place to be in is any room where Sam Walker's in. It's a terrifying place to be there. Okay, it's a terrifying place to be there in those moments when Sam Walker opens up the show and you have to sit there. It's terrifying. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are mistaking me for him and him for me. And it's becoming incredibly frustrating watching this go down. You know, Sam Walker and I are two completely different human beings. And to be mistaken for him is incredibly wrong, okay? And I'm shaken. I'm upset. I'm my own individual, and people need to recognize that and be empathetic to those, to me. They need to be empathetic to me, actually, because I then get the backlash of all the things that I do rather than him. It's incredibly frustrating. It pisses me off, if I'm being honest. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. All tour dates are on dangercatshop.com. Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms. Emails, I need some hate mail. Give me some fucking hate mail. UncleHack@dangercats.tv. Give us some goddamn hate mail. Why don't you? And we will dissect it. Go through it with a fine-tooth comb like we did that nice little article we had today. Isn't that fun? Wasn't that fun? Didn't we all have a good time together? Anyway, see you next week every Thursday at 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And if you want an extra episode, be sure to join the Patreon, which you can get this episode earlier than everybody else, 48 hours to be exact. And you'll get an extra episode every week. Thursday at 3 p.m. is when the... the regular episode drops and the exclusive episode drops as well. So we will see you then. Stay cool out there, folks.